The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, today we are going to observe Ascension. And then next week we have Pentecost, and then it's Trinity Sunday, and then we're into the Trinity season. Any announcements?
Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, the committee for the Centennial Celebration will get together. Also, in terms only, we have no trustees. So if we could get a few extra guys to step up this summer and help us with any projects that arrive, we would appreciate that. Either get a hold of myself or Denny.
So Chuck's bypass was successful the other day, and he's home resting. Danny, you want to now talk about what's going to happen with you?
We don't know anything yet. We're thinking, Jerry and I are thinking the end of June.
So what's going to happen?
Oh, I got to have 3 cents in that valve replaced.
No, triple bypass, correct?
Yes.
It's 3 bypasses.
So, keep them in your prayers. David, do you want to make any else on my ears?
My father entered the hospital yesterday with a blockage in his heart, and they're currently determining what to do. Some of you might know him, Milo Gray. He was class 53 for Pride Barrington.
No other announcements. Let's rise and begin with our first hymn.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
future recompense.
Oh,
This is the feast. Ascended into the heavens, so we may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The confessional reading for this morning is on the sacrament of the altar. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? It is not the eating and drinking indeed that does them, but the words here written, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. Which words besides the bodily eating and drinking are chief things in the sacrament? That believes these words has what they say, express namely the forgiveness of sins. The Old Testament reading for this morning is written in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Now the sons of the prophets were at Jericho. He came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" "Yes," he answered. "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took up his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is written in the first chapter, beginning with the first verse from the book of Acts. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when you had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. He was ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the, for St. Mark, is written in the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 14. Table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge us the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the community of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
grace and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The theme today is celebrating the Ascension. Dear saints in Christ, last Thursday marked the 40th day of Easter. St. Luke tells you that Jesus, after his death and resurrection, showed himself alive to his disciples for 40 days before he was taken up into heaven. Nevertheless, for most people, last Thursday passed by with little noted significance. But should the day of your Lord's ascension to the right hand of God the Father be ignored by the faithful? Don't you confess in the Apostles' Creed he ascended into heaven? Well, let me give you four reasons why you should celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven, not only on the 40th day of Easter, but on every day. First, Jesus' ascension to the right hand of God the Father proves that Jesus is victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, he fulfilled what King David prophesied in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus is the eternal Son of God the Father, who from eternity has shared his divine essence and majesty along with the Holy Spirit. Yet for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnated by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. You see, not only did the Son of God take on human flesh, but being born under the law, he humbled himself to the point of death upon the cross. In your place, he fulfilled the law actively. In your human flesh, he perfectly loved the Lord God with all his heart, soul, and will, and loved his neighbor as himself. And in your place, Jesus also fulfilled the law passively. In your human flesh, he bore the punishment of all your sins on his body and soul. Your Savior, Jesus, was vindicated Easter morning when he rose from the dead. He proved that he was innocent of all sin, that he truly is God's Son and the teacher of truth, and that he has washed away all your sins forever. Now in his ascension, God the Father took him, who was made to be a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. It is as St. Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus, the Father of glory raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What does this mean? It means that the Lord Jesus is victorious over his enemies and rules over all powers and authorities. Your sin is under Jesus' feet. Satan, who attempts to lead you into sin and unbelief and accuse you before God, is now crushed under Jesus' heel. The law which condemns you is under Jesus' feet, along with death and hell. And all other powers and authorities are under his dominion. You will have had bad governments on this earth. In fact, our own state government sanctions the killing of unborn babies, the destruction of the family with bad laws that destroy marriages, and increasingly, the persecution of the church. History repeats itself. Christians will suffer from governmental persecution. Nevertheless, these governments too remain under Jesus' feet. You see, Jesus is in charge. All powers and authorities on earth will pass away, but Christ will rule. Christ's rule will never pass away. Now, the second reason you should celebrate Jesus' ascension to God's right hand is because it proves that he is always with you. Now, this might sound contradictory. Jesus ascended into heaven, and his disciples watched him go. So how could he be with you? There's a lot of talk lately about flying back to the moon and even astronauts landing on Mars in the near future. Now, maybe that will happen, but I assure you, astronauts will never find Jesus in their adventures among the stars. Elon Musk can't build a rocket to go to the right hand of God the Father. Nevertheless, this doesn't mean that Jesus is far away from you. In fact, it is precisely because Jesus is at God's the Father's right hand that you know that he is with you in the church today. It is exactly as God says in Isaiah. For thus says the one who is lifted high, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Jesus dwells in the heavens of heavens. Nevertheless, Jesus dwells also with you lowly creatures here upon earth. How can this be? Because the right hand of God the Father is not a location far off in some distant galaxy. The right hand of God the Father is God's right hand of power. Jesus is not limited by his position at the Father's right hand. Rather, he is unlimited in his power. He is able to do far more than you can either ask or you can think. You see, the term right hand of God does not refer to a local place, but rather to a position of power. Most people are right-handed. So when a person is called someone's right-hand man, it means that that person accomplishes the work of the other person that they send them to do. Jesus does the work that God the Father sent him to do. Jesus is at the Father's right hand, is all-powerful. You celebrate Jesus as the Father's right-hand man because at the Father's right hand, Jesus is with you here upon earth. This is indeed what Jesus promises you. He doesn't simply tell his disciples to go out and preach the gospel to the whole creation, but he also promises to be with them always to the end of the age. When Jesus' ministers proclaim the gospel, they are not only delivering words, but they are also delivering Christ Jesus himself. As Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. St. Mark even records that the Lord Jesus accompanied the disciples in their preaching and worked with them. And he works with you today. Jesus is with you today in this church because this is where he promises to be. You're all baptized by different pastors at different times and places. Nevertheless, it was the Lord Jesus who baptized all of you and clothed you with himself at the altar. Although you cannot comprehend how this can be, you eat the true body and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ because Christ has ascended to the Father's right hand. And so, you have Jesus bodily with you here today. Every time you have heard the absolution spoken to you by your pastor, it was spoken to you by Christ himself. Now all of this is possible because Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. St. Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, "He who descended is the one who also ascended above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And indeed he has filled his church, and he has raised him up to be with him, and seated him at the right hand of the Father. And he comes to the heavenly places with word and sacrament, a reality you will realize more clearly when your faith is turned into sight. Now the third reason you should celebrate Jesus' ascension is because, as the angels told the disciples, Jesus will return in the same way he ascended. You all will see Jesus coming on the clouds. He will come to judge the living and the dead. This is so natural, is a natural result of Jesus ascending to the Father's right hand. Because Jesus has received all authority from his Father, so naturally he has also received the authority to judge. And the world must be judged. And Jesus has warned you that he will come at a moment that you do not expect. Now, this might not sound like something to celebrate. I mean, Jesus' judgment sounds terrifying. How awful are the words Jesus foretold that he will say to some, 'I tell you, I never knew you.' Nevertheless, those who trust in Jesus and believe that his death has taken away your sins, and that through him you are reconciled to the Father, Jesus' return to judgment is not a terrifying thought. Jesus promises, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life.'" Jesus does not come to judge you, but rather to bestow upon you the crown of righteousness. Instead, Jesus says, "Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Your sins cannot condemn you, because Jesus has taken them away. Your sins cannot condemn you because Jesus has taken them away." And he does not say, "Who has ever committed the greatest sins will be condemned," but rather, "Who does not believe will be condemned." This is because Jesus has already paid the price for your sins. And the only way that you can be condemned is if you reject Jesus. But for those who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus for salvation, Scripture says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Now this brings you to your fourth reason to celebrate Jesus' ascension to the Father's right hand. Because Jesus will return to bring you to live with him. Through Jesus' ascension, you too will ascend to live with Christ before the throne of God in righteousness and purity forever. St. Paul tells you in his letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." As surely as Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, so surely will he return to bring you to be with him. This is a real salvation. Jesus Christ is true God and true man. He has a human body, was nailed to a cross, laid dead in a tomb, truly rose from the dead, and dwells gloriously in heaven. And you will see that same body ascend to meet you. And your bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You will dwell with Jesus in your bodies, which will be changed after the image of his imperishable and immortal body. What your eyes cannot yet behold, you will see with your own eyes. Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven means that your end is not disembodied spirits floating around in the heavens, nor will you become angels. Jesus has had a human body to redeem human bodies, body, soul, and will. You will truly live bodily with Jesus in a physically new heaven and new earth, one that is not corrupted by sin, but one that will last forever. Your saints in Christ, when you celebrate Jesus' ascension to the Father's right hand, you celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. You celebrate that Jesus is with you today in his church through the ministry of his word and sacraments. You celebrate that Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. And you celebrate that you too will ascend to live with Jesus in an imperishable body, without sin, without death, without suffering forever. These things are definitely worth celebrating. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Continue with the offertory. Since your Son has gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, ascended in triumph, and seated at your right hand, so open our lips to sing praises to our King, rejoicing and living in the truth of his victory for us, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of glory, pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church, that she may proclaim to the ends of the earth the good news of what your Son has accomplished in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, since your Son will shatter kings when he executes judgment upon the nations, keep all our leaders from acting in ways that will earn them his wrath. Bless them with wisdom to govern us in accordance with your righteous ways. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, your Son has ascended to sit at your right hand until you make all your enemies his footstool. Fix our eyes upon him, ruling in the midst of his enemies, that we may have no fear of them but abide in his peace. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you seated Christ at your right hand for your deliverance. Remember those who are afflicted with illness and injury, including Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Milo, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lydia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, the Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family. Give them health and strength according to your good and gracious will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake, you will raise them up in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
O Lord, keep us from hardness of hearts and unbelief. Help us by your Spirit to believe the witness of those who saw your Son after his resurrection, that we may joyfully recline at table with him today and eat his very body and drink his very blood in a worthy manner. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, we give thanks for the hope for that in holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Carol, Teresa, David, Jan, Bonnie, George, and Jill, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant to which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayers. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with hymn 307.
Oh,
second.
The Lord be with you. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. This is the true body of the Father, the Son, and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shit.
Take, eat, true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin.
Take,
take, drink, blood, the true blood of Christ,
Jesus Christ,
shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. This is the true blood that keeps you alive and saves. Jesus Christ, Son of the Son, wants to shed his blood. God's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in this moment. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, even unto death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins.
thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us for this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Adore thee, thy